All right, Thanksgiving Thursday. I said that before. That's great. For believers, I was talking to Jim Manuel before the service, and we were talking about, you know, it's not a Christian holiday per se, but every day belongs to the Lord. And for us, it's a day to be truly thankful to our Creator, to be thankful to Jesus, to be thankful for the Holy Spirit for helping us live the life He's called us to live. It's not just a holiday to eat a lot of stuff and be just generically thankful about some things. We give God credit for the things that we're thankful for. So this is a week, and especially on the holiday, to take some time and be thankful to God for everything. Now, some of you may be having a hard year, or you've had a hard year, or you're going through a tough season right now, and maybe you've had a great year. But for most of us, there's probably been some good stuff and some hard stuff, and that's kind of normal, right? But when you think about the hard stuff, you can still be thankful while acknowledging the hard things and taking those to God. And if nothing else, you can thank God for another day of life. He gave you breath today. And if you know Jesus, you have something wonderful to look forward to when this life is over. Eternity with Him forever. So even if it's been a tough year, you have Jesus if you know Him. This is not a traditional Thanksgiving scripture to read, or scriptures to read, but I'm going to read them anyway. I almost walked off. I forgot I don't have a microphone here on me. But it's from Philippians chapter 3, and I was thinking especially about those of you that have some hard things this year, you're going through some hard things, your family is, and this is the one popped out at me when I was reading, and it starts at verse 10, Philippians 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing: forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Again, not a traditional Thanksgiving scripture, but one that can point us toward Him and toward our future with Him. Today we're going to have, this is the sixth year we've done this. We're going to have some Thanksgiving testimony. Sometimes, depending on how the calendar works, it's before Thanksgiving, and sometimes it's the Sunday after. But this year, the way the calendar works out, it's this Sunday. The focus, again, is on Jesus, what He's doing in the lives of people here at Bethel. It's their personal testimony. I don't know what any of them are going to talk about. I have no idea. This year, you didn't see anything in the bulletin. Like, I need some Thanksgiving testimonies or the Thursday update, because the ones you're going to hear from today volunteered and had enough of them. They had something, and so I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit moving in them like that. I didn't have to go out and ask. The testimonies, and this is helping them too, that you'll hear. Lamanda Loganbill, if you'll start coming up here, Lamanda. After that, Verna Zysit, and then Rick Loganbill and Tori Loganbill. And if the rest of you three that come after Lamanda, you could come on up. It's all right. She wants to be up there the least amount of time possible. So each of you that come after Lamanda, just start coming up when she's finished. You don't have to wait till she clears the stage. So this is the sermon today from the people of Bethel.
Good morning, church. I want to begin by saying thank you for the opportunity to be here today and sharing a part of God's story in my life, especially in the last year. Even though through God's grace, I'm able to stand before you almost each week and praise our amazing God, this and speaking in front of you makes me a lot more nervous. But I know that God is here with me today, just as He is each and every week when I'm sharing my worship with you. Last year at Thanksgiving Testimony Sunday, I was sitting in the pew where most of my beautiful family is today. And as Jerry prayed for the people before they began sharing, I audibly heard God say, "This will be you next year." I was a little caught off guard at the time, because it isn't often that the Holy Spirit speaks audibly to me. Most of the time, it's through quiet whispers or thoughts or reminders of God and all He's done for me through a song. And in that short moment, I almost let the enemy sneak in, because right after that, I doubted that I would be able to, doubted that anyone would care to hear anything about my life, and also looked at my family down the pew from me and wondered, God, if I'm speaking next year, what trial are you going to put me and my family through? And before I could question God any longer, he replied again with, take a chance on me and on you. I had no idea what that meant at the time, but it's been a journey this year unpacking what he meant by take a chance. I took my first chance a week later by telling Jerry and Diana at small group what had happened, knowing one of them or both of them are going to write this down and I'm not going to be able to get out of it. So, sure enough, a couple of months ago, Jerry called and asked if I wanted to do it, and I said, I'm not sure that I want to do it, but I know that I have to obey God and go ahead and do it. Because the first thing that I've learned this year is that obedience to God brings joy. We don't normally think of obedience as a joyful word, but when we're living in obedience to our Heavenly Father, we can be sure that he is going to be fully present in that situation with us. And by being present, he will bless our lives with joy. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David wrote this because he believed that the Lord had shown him the path to heaven, a place of joy and endless delights because of the presence of God. But I think we can experience this joy and peace here on earth as long as we invite God to come alongside us in every part of our lives. And in Deuteronomy 28:1-2, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy does not use the word joy, but it says that when we are obedient, God will bless you and overtake you. I don't know about you, but that sounds like joy to me. In the last year, I've seen God work in big and little ways when I step out and faithfully obey him. Sometimes it's not the thing that my own self desires to do, but by listening and being obedient to the Holy Spirit, I've found joy in saying yes and no to certain things. The next chance I took was beginning to read my Bible chronologically. I'm a little ashamed to stand before you and admit that for years, my daily Bible reading consisted of just a verse or two each morning. Here and there, I would do a longer Bible study over a particular book of the Bible, but it never made it a huge priority to just sit and read it. I had done many devotions, had studied many stories of the Bible, even taught Sunday school for many years, but I knew I was still missing something. And thankfully, I can lay any shame I feel at the feet of Jesus and feel only his presence as I read my Bible now. But that day, I was sitting and scrolling through social media and a Fox News article popped up. And you can ask Derek, I don't read or look at the news. So I don't know why it showed up that day on January 16th, but it did. An article about Tara Lee Cobble and the Bible Recap podcast. I clicked on it because I was intrigued and found that she led a chronological Bible study each year and was beginning it again for the sixth time. I listened to her intro and knew that this was what I needed, and God was saying, take a chance and read my word. I do have something more for you. One thing she said in the intro is that a pastor had told her, you can't preach God's word until you've read all of God's word. And like her, in that moment, I realized I really wanted to share God with others, but I needed to know him more first. I find that even when I'm behind or off on my schedule for whatever reason, even now being like 70 days behind schedule, but that's okay because he meets me where I need him each and every day. When I'm struggling, his word comes alive with encouragement or the wisdom that I needed that day. And I see it so much. I'll write something down on the day that I read it and write down what it meant to me that day. And I look back at my notes days or weeks later, and I think to myself, why did I even write that down? But that day I knew, God knew that I needed it. But that's how God works. He meets us where we need him on a personal level each and every day. And as this year, I have personally felt pretty defeated throughout different parts of the year. And I just finished reading through Jeremiah and thinking on those times. And I know Jeremiah had to feel pretty defeated at times too. Jeremiah had a hard job that no one would have wanted. He had to bring news of so much destruction because of the way the people of Israel had fallen so far away from God. But God also always promised that he would provide restoration. That word of restoration and hope for the remnant of people that God would save from being destroyed, those parts of Scripture have given me so much hope during those times of struggles. And right now, as I'm reading in Ezekiel, the prophecies of destruction that Ezekiel had to bring, it was a horrible job. But do you know that in Ezekiel, the phrase, "Then they will know that I am the Lord," is used about 60 times. In destruction and in restoration, God was bringing to the people only something that he could do. There would no longer be any confusion about him being the Lord. I sometimes wonder this year if God brings us to a place that looks so hopeless, so that we know without a doubt that when healing comes, it will only be because it was God working in us and through us, that we too know that he is the Lord. So I encourage you to open your Bible, dive into God's word each and every day. And if I can encourage or answer questions about reading it chronologically, I'd love to do that. And the final chance that I took this year that I want to share with you today is of me taking a chance and letting God have full control over my life. I've always been a person that likes to be in control. I want to know what's up ahead. I work better when there's control and order. And I had to realize that there was a lot of me in that and not a lot of room to let God control my life and or leave room for me to obey him when the opportunities came up, like going to Guatemala for a mission trip, saying yes to going when I had no idea what was to come and what would happen. But I did know that God was in control. He was the one telling me to go. And knowing that God's plan for your life is always better, shouldn't be an issue for me. I have a little living, breathing, six-year-old Kylie reminder that God's plan for our lives is always better than our own. But I still have to remind myself daily to let go and let God take over. I can lay out the best plans and it doesn't matter because that wasn't God's plan. Ephesians 3:20 reminds us, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." God will always accomplish more within us than we can do on our own. And through that, we have to stop and give God the glory for accomplishing the impossible. Thank you.
First of all, I just want to echo what Jerry prayed with the prayer requests on the bulletin. He reminded us that, you know, we appreciate the medical field, doctors and such, but God is the ultimate healer. And I just want to echo that because my testimony has to do with healing, but more than healing, it's more of a testimony of obedience. And I'll share that. Before I get started sharing, I am going to give a disclaimer. It is a bit difficult to share because in the past I have shared. My voice isn't cooperating, sorry. And it can be a very controversial subject. We're all at different places at different times. We're all on a journey. And I have shared and have had feedback of people that, "What are you meaning to tell me?" And it kind of relating to something they had going on and feeling like maybe it being attacked. So before I get started, I just want to give this disclaimer that what I'm going to share is going to be my story and about my life. And please, nobody here take this personally. I don't want anybody to feel any condemnation for where you're at or how you've responded in your situation. My story is going to be about what God was doing in my life and what I needed to obey. I was going to look at the clock so I don't go over my time, but the sun's kind of not allowing me to see that. So I'm just going to go ahead and share. I'm kind of envious of Lamanda that she had a paper to go off of. And I would have had that opportunity, but I did try and write stuff down. And then, it got so long, and I'm like, no, I'm going to have to read it. And then I kind of wrestled with that. And finally, I decided that I guess I'm just going to let that share from my heart. I do wish I would have wrote some scriptures down. I'm more of a word person than I am a number person, so I'm probably going to share a few scriptures. But unfortunately, I can't tell you. I don't have it memorized where they're found, so bear with me. But so my testimony kind of starts at a time, at a pretty young age. And according to doctors, and this is where that comes into play about the medical field, and I have nothing against doctors. I greatly appreciate them. But at 22, almost 23 years of age, we were doing doctoring. I'll get more into that. But I was told that, sorry, we tried everything we know. We have nothing to offer. And my young husband at the time, and we had one little daughter, asked the specialist. He's like, well, what can we expect? He's 2 years at the most. And that's what we left the specialist with. And follow up with our regular doctor. And well, what do we do from here? He's like, well, you might want to join a support group. And that was what they had to offer. So as you can imagine, this started a journey of me seeking. I had nothing left. What do we do? The doctors have nothing to offer. God, did you bring me here for this? This is it. And our ministry, the church we were with at the time, suggested that I get anointed. I didn't know much about that. Didn't sound like a bad idea. I knew there was something about it in the Bible. I really didn't understand it. So I got out my concordance, and I looked up all the verses that had to do with anointing. And they did do an anointing service. I was kind of hoping a little more would get shared, so I explained, or that they would explain more. But I left. It was an act of faith. I still wasn't really settled, but it was an act of obedience, and I think God honored it. But I still wasn't well. We had moved on to Wilmer's uncle's dairy farm about 9 months when our first daughter was 9 months old. At this time that the doctors told us that she's about 9 months old at that time. So here we are, a young mom, my young husband, we've got this big responsibility, and I'm in bed sick most of the time. What I failed to mention is when I was at the doctor and at the specialist, I had been diagnosed with lupus and very sick, and so much brain fog that it was hard to even think straight, because at that time they had tried so many medications. It seemed like when they tried a medication, I got side effects from that, and I would end up on three more medications just to deal with either the nausea or whatever I was dealing with from the prior medications. Until finally, that's why they decided they have nothing to offer, because everything they had been giving me, just I got sicker. So just quit everything, no medications, and went home. But a good friend of mine shared something with me. She said, Verna, I just heard it the other day. I'm going to share it with you. As long as we're still here on this earth, we still have a purpose. When our purpose is over, God's going to take us to be with him, or we'll purpose is over, we'll be taken and meet eternity. So I pondered that. And I was really sick at the time, and there was no medical hope for me, but I chose to believe that. It was wrestling with it, but I said, okay, God, if that is true, I want to live my life, but I want to live it to the very fullest. That started me on a journey that I could have never imagined. Be careful what you pray for, because God has been answering that prayer, but he's like, okay, but we're going to have to do a lot of training here if I want to reach my full potential, because my faith was pretty low at that time. So that's kind of my testimony of it, the journey of learning to know him, to trust him, and then when he does show me something, in being obedient to it. Had another friend share with me that she recently heard about something, and supposedly it helps people with lupus. Okay, the doctors just got done telling me they have nothing to offer. There's really nothing they can do for that. I think by now they know more about it, but at that time it was still relatively new. That time I'd only known one other person that had it. And so she said it, but then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and kept bringing it back. They were going to have a meeting. It was a product. It was health and nutrition product. And I wasn't raised to do more natural stuff. I was raised, you go to the doctor, you do what the doctor says. So this was a hurdle for me, but it's like the Holy Spirit, God was beginning, as I was seeking him, beginning to just listen to him, but he's like, I felt like he wanted me to go to that meeting. Makes no sense. But I didn't have peace till I did it. So our friend offered, if you want to go, we'll pick you up and take you. Toward the end of the meeting, they gave testimonies, or they let people share if they wanted to, just like I'm sharing today. And there was a lady in the back. I was very sick still at the time. Remember, we're on a dairy farm. My husband has to get up early the next morning without my help. And they were giving testimonies. A little lady in the back in a wheelchair. And it's like, oh, okay, she's going to go, yep. She slowly, ever so slowly, makes her way to the front, gets up out of the wheelchair, walks to the front to share her testimony, and she stood up there and she said, this is the first time I've walked in 11 years. She said, I was diagnosed with lupus. And she shared her testimony. She had been able to get up before, but to walk that distance, she had never been able to do that before. So now, I forgot that I was tired and she had my attention as she shared her testimony. It was hard for me because, like I said, I wasn't raised natural, and it did raise some issues with some of the family, but I really felt like I needed to be obedient to that, because another thing I've learned on my journey, we are body, soul, and spirit. My body did need some nutrition, and I really learned to know Christ in a deeper way. So, like, the soul being born again, really trusting, or the spirit, but we're also soul beings. And I think I'm probably, you know, over my time, but what I wanted to share with that is, yes, I needed that for my body, and I was born again, but there's a lot of things going on in the soul. And one of the ways God spoke to me was through the verse that, beloved, above all things, I would that thou wouldst prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And so just that was a journey itself, kind of learning that our soul part of us is our mind, will, and emotions. And I did have just some past trauma and stuff going on, and I started recognizing that what was going on internally was acting out externally, like what I had going on in my physical body. So that was one of the things that God used that product. I started getting better. It was kind of just to act in obedience, and it was just like God does. He asks us to do something that doesn't make sense, but he rewards obedience. But so it's been a continuing journey from there. Just stepping, another thing that God used that really spoke to me was a piece of information I got that was explaining how that kind of the root of what some diseases are. And I wasn't really going to get into all of that, but I really wanted to know what it said about lupus. And it said the root of lupus is shame, guilt, and self-hatred. And I said, yeah, but God, that's not me. There's memories that came through my mind of what the Lord just let flash before me, that how I was being hard on myself and attacking myself, did not like myself, and for various reasons, or how I was treated, or how I perceived that. And one of the verses that the Lord used to really set me free on that was, "Ye are not your own; you are bought with a price." That God doesn't give us permission to judge ourselves. He bought us. We're his. And he is not glorified when we're displeased with what he created. And we can't see ourselves like that. That's not glorifying to him. He wants us to see us as he created us, and how wonderful we are. So that was a journey in itself. But I did find that, yes, I needed nutrition, but even more, that I just needed a revelation of who I was in him, and to trust him. And with that, when the turmoil on the inside decreased, then it allowed my body to be able to do what God designed it to do, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. So I am thankful to say that with that journey and just the guidance of the Holy Spirit, just it was difficult. It was seasons of just crying out to God and snot and tears and just, why God, then getting quiet and letting him speak to me and just getting in his word. But just to him all the honor and glory for that, because here I am 22 years later, and at that time, part of the testimony was we had one child at the time, and they had told us, you probably won't be able to ever have any more children. They don't even consider that, I only had 2 years to live. But here I am 22 years later with a total of 5 beautiful children. So to God be the glory.
Well, I guess start off with, make it a little easier, I might tell a joke. There's a couple of kids that when I read the joke, I had it. There's 2 grandkids, and one was 2, and the other was 4, the daughter was 4. And I had a son that was an usher, and the little boy was making a lot of noise, and the little girl said, be quiet. He said, who's going to make me? I said, those 2 guys stand back there, they're hushers. Well, the pastor said, you don't know what they're going to talk about. And I said, I don't either. I didn't have anything written down because I can't write very good, and I can't use a computer, so I didn't have anything written down, so I'll try to wing this. I was at all the
revival meetings, and that we had, and we had another deal in Sunday school talking about prayer, and so I got a lot closer to God there during that time. And then I went to a men's conference down in Columbia, and this is what I got out of the message was, do you have what's God's plan for your life and your purpose? And so say yes to that. So I said yes to that. And I probably said yes before, but I didn't realize I probably I said, I'm not going to do this, and I won't do that. And so he didn't speak to me. But this time I didn't have anything that I was going to say. So he told me that, because when I'd hear testimonies, I thought, I don't really have a testimony. And a few days later, the Holy Spirit said, talk to me. And it was really a loud voice. And he said, you do have a testimony, and I want you to share it. So I told Jerry, and he said, when do you want to share it? I said, no, just whenever everybody else shares their testimony. So now here I am. So I've been back whenever I was younger, was praying for a good wife. And I dated a couple girls, but it didn't seem right. So I had my own Joni, but I didn't know who she was. But later I found out who it was. And so found out she played basketball. And so in January, I went over to the ball game. And so afterwards, I asked her out. And we dated for 5 months, and we thought, both of us felt this was really what God was, this was our answer to prayer. And so in May, I asked her if she'd marry me, and she said yes. And so we talked about a lot of things, how many kids we wanted, and where we wanted to live, and she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I said, that's fine. And so we got married in August the 5th, and about a year later, this had been the best anniversary present you could have. And we was married August the 4th, and on August the 2nd, we had a little baby girl. Her name was Erica. She lived for 7 months. And she passed away. I was really mad at God. But I saw that wasn't doing me or my wife any good, so said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh." So that made a lot of difference in my life then. And the only one that was really sad is the parents and the family, because how good it would be not to sin to be in the presence of God. So then, after that, we had four more beautiful children, and they didn't give us much trouble. And I think that's partly because of what I did for her. So I was thankful for the song there that "Great is Thy Faithfulness." What Thy hand hath provided in my life, I see a lot of things that work and so forth, and God opens a door and closes another one. And it's a wonderful thing. My heart was in farming, and whenever in the 70s interest was so high and everything, we had Henry had bought a farm and stuff, and we had to get out. But I didn't like that, but now I can see why that God did that, because we got another business and it's part of my our family works with it, and there's no way I could have got big enough in farming to help have them work with us. So God gave me a deal to start a shavings business, and so then everybody was just, and we went to Cargill and they said, "Yeah, you can, we have another opening for, we need shaving." So I was told my dad, and he said, "No, I don't know why you want to get into that." I said, "I think God's leading me to that." So that we could work together as a family. I was trucking at the time, and I didn't have much time with the kids. Because I'd be gone, sometimes I'd leave before they got up, and or if they didn't, I was tired enough, I had to sleep while they was going to school. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, I had to, always something to do on the truck, change tires, change oil. So that's why I got into shavings business, so we could work together. And that led us into different things. We knew all the people that was in the wood business down south, and so now we're hauling sawdust to pellet mills. That's a whole lot easier, and so I know that's what God was leading us into, and then whenever I was doing the shavings, one day I was sick, and not real sick, but I just didn't feel real good. So Joni and Brandon's delivering shavings. Everybody was just dumping them on the ground, so we just had spreader trucks, so we were spreading, and I mean, we just kept so busy. I mean, it was almost crazy. We worked 80, 90 hours a week, and I don't know, it was crazy. So see, where was I? Oh yeah, I didn't feel real good one day, and so Joni and Brian was going delivering shavings, just got down to Providence, and I called her and said, I think I'm having a heart attack. Sure enough. But they found out that I had a blood disorder, and so they treated that with Coumadin, and so it didn't do any damage to my heart, thankfully. And you know, whenever I was young, I was thinking, I was praying for people, and I thought, man, I'd hate for that to be me. But you can't imagine how much comfort it gives for people to be praying for you. I could feel the prayers going up. Yeah, I might have forgot. That's why I'm up here. The Holy Spirit told me to give me my testimony. Because the ones that know me that sent me. I'm a man of few words, but I married a person that now you know. Yeah, a couple times Jerry, even though Jerry don't know me very good, he probably noticed that I don't talk much, and he kept asking me, do you still want to do it? I'd like to have said no, but the Holy Spirit said, do it. So that's why I'm here. And then I was on Coumadin for a while, and I had a torn meniscus. And they took me off a blood thinner for 2 or 3 days. And had a stroke. That's why my brain's all mixed up. It's on the outside appearance, I'm pretty good, but I have trouble learning new stuff. I can't. That's why I'm not. Didn't write anything down. I can't write very good. The other day, it was about a year before I could even write a check and figure anything, and somebody goes, why don't you use a calculator? I said, I don't know whether to add, subtract, or divide. Back when I had the stroke, they put me on it. They made me do kindergarten stuff because I just couldn't think or anything, and they said that the only way you can get better is one person that gives stuff in Versailles is a nursing home. I said, I'm not going there. So I had to learn a lot of this stuff. It's a good thing that I had help from my family, because I'd get somebody to stop and want to give directions, and my brain would think one thing and it'd say the other. I'd say, go down and turn a left, make a left. And I'd say, no, my brain is thinking the other opposite way. And so I'd have to go back and change that. But I'm thankful to be as good as I am. I thank God every day. One time, not long after I had a stroke, they asked me to, in a men's class right back over here, some of you are probably there, and I didn't want to pray, but I did, and it's like I say, my brain and stuff thinks different. I said, thank you for this food. And there wasn't no food there. It's tough. I couldn't read or I couldn't talk for quite a while. The first thing I knew I had a problem was on a Sunday, somebody came up, well, on a Saturday, I think it was, they said, if you're having problems, call. And so I couldn't talk. So they called down, Johnny called down there and said, well, maybe it has tubes stuck down your throat. Maybe that's what it was. And then on Sunday, somebody needed some stuff signed. And that's when we really noticed the problem. I couldn't write my name. And whenever I had my stroke, the kids come in, and Red came in. I kind of knew the kids. I couldn't say their name, but I didn't know who Red was. So, and then after that, I don't know how long it was after that, why. I woke up and I was in the ambulance. And I said, what happened? And they said, you had a seizure. And so I don't know how my wife got me dressed and ready to go in the ambulance, but she did. But about halfway down there, I woke up. They said, you had a seizure. So they did a bunch of tests, and I had a brain tumor. And the doctor came in after, when I was getting ready to be operated on, he said, did you sleep good? I said, yeah. He goes, how come? I said, because I have faith in God. And I trust you know what you're doing. I said, no matter what the outcome is, I'm ready. And they operated, and it was not malignant, thank goodness. So, I guess that's about all I have. Thank you.
Oh, Rick's my father-in-law. Okay. I'm Tori. As a child, I knew there was a heaven, God, and a man named Jesus. Somehow, they were the same person. When I would attend church, majority of the time, it was because I had stayed the night at a friend's house that evening before. One of them being a Catholic, I had found out that there was also a Holy Ghost. It was all so confusing. As I got older, there were people that I met who supposedly were Christians, but they sure didn't act like it. They didn't live a perfect life that I thought Christians did. In high school, I had a music teacher who would bring in hymns for sight reading, and I remember thinking, nice try. However, music was a big thing for me, and honestly, it's probably an understatement. I had no plans to attend college. After making it to the second round on the TV show The Voice, I knew music would be my life. I met my husband in 2012, and I remember him asking me multiple times if I would attend his church with him, and I kindly reminded him that the Chiefs play at noon and we have appetizers. They play at noon today too. I was attending college at Mizzou in 2016 when I received a call that my fiance was being admitted into the hospital because he couldn't seem to keep anything down. He hadn't that entire weekend. Frantically, I packed my things from class and literally sprinted across campus. I got stuck at a crosswalk, and a man stood there on the corner handing out New Testaments, and of course asked me if I wanted one. I rolled my eyes, took one, and said sarcastically, "Oh yeah, sure, I could really use one of these right now." He replied with, "Is everything okay?" And I let him have it. To sum it all up, started off by telling him that I was annoyed at the fact that I was stuck at a crosswalk with someone handing out Bibles, all the way into the fact that I was scared that I thought I might lose my fiance. He remained silent. The light turned green, and I continued to run to my car. Once I got to my car, I remembered that I had received a Natalie Grant CD as a gift. And if I'm being totally honest, I took it as an insult at the time. I popped the CD in, and again, with the sarcasm, I thought, okay, let's see what this God can do then. I listened to the entire CD on the way to the hospital, begging him not to take my fiance. Church, I share these moments with you to be reminded at the mindset of someone who might not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or simply just doesn't know what his word, the Bible, says. Someone once told me, you don't know something until you know something. God has shown up so many times in my life, and as I continue to learn and grow in Christ, these are some things that I now know. One, there is a Holy Trinity. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. John 14:16-17, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and I will be with you. I know now that I have a heavenly Father that loves me so much that he would send his one and only Son to die on a cross for all the mistakes that I have made, for all of my imperfections. And now that I have a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. Two, there is no perfect Christian or Christian life, but there was a perfect man because he was the perfect sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hebrews 5:9, in this way God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. Hebrews 10:10, for God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. We all fall short. We have all messed something up or said something wrong. Scripture says that we fall short of the glory of God, but Jesus Christ led the perfect example, and it is his ways that we strive to follow. The perfect man, the perfect Son, the perfect teacher, the perfect sacrifice. He didn't just die on the cross for only my sins. He took up the cross of those whom I also thought weren't acting very Christian-like. 3. My music teacher planted a seed. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-7. I planted the seed in the hearts and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God made the seed grow. I know now that my teacher knew what Jesus Christ had to offer, and she wanted it so badly for each and every one of her students. She was willing to do whatever it took to plant that seed. Her faith never wavered. 4. I was made for so much more than a TV show. Psalm 139:13-16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You washed me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. James 1:18. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. I know that God has specifically given me a gift. He gave it to me even before I knew who he was. Through his word, he told me that he knew I was who I was even before I came to really know him. 5. Surrendering to the Natalie Grant CD. More like surrendering to God. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. I know now that the man handing out New Testaments was a Gideon. And when he remained silent, it wasn't because he thought I was some punk dramatic college kid. He was praying for me. And I truly believe that his prayer is why I felt that pull to pull out the Natalie Grant CD. Music was my life. Why wouldn't God try to connect with me through song? I didn't know the words to the song, but a few lyrics in, I began to cry, beg, even yelling to God at how scared I was. As songs continued, I began to feel this sense of confidence that God would have it all figured out, because there was nothing else I could do. My hands were completely tied, and I simply had nothing else left. Complete surrender to him, and telling him that he would heal him, and I knew that he could. My husband's tumor came back benign, and my relationship with Jesus Christ has flourished ever since. I had been worshiping him without even knowing it. And that when that realization hit me, music was no longer my life, but worshiping him through song was a part of my calling. You don't know something until you know something. I have learned about love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. I stand here before you as someone who has been transformed by God. The decision to follow Jesus Christ in itself was easy. But this world has made my transformation difficult. I find comfort in knowing that Jesus said, "In the world, you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world." When I found that scripture, when I needed it the most, God showed me that his word truly had an answer for everything. I'll leave you with some last words that spoke to me early on in my relationship with Jesus that I hope and pray that you all take away with for today. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
All right, thanks to the four of you that shared. We had four very diverse stories. One God, one Father, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, working in them all, working through them all, and working today. And hopefully different ones maybe spoke to you in different ways, but appreciate you guys all sharing, and I always look forward to this Sunday.